Lecture topic, Golden Rules to a Blissful Marriage, Part 2.
But what impressed this woman? It was the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The outstanding, flawless, impeccable, sublime character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Comes the age of 40, when his privilege with Prophet would, and Jibreel Amin comes and meets with him in the cave. Jibreel Amin comes and meets with him in the cave. And he is now crowned with prophethood. And the human for which the world waits has arrived. The human for which the world anticipates has arrived. The promised man, what the Quran prophesies. Subhanallah. But when he's crowned, again, we can't call it an inauguration. That's an insult. I don't have the terminology, you know, inauguration. What's an inauguration? When he comes home, how does he approach his wife? One was to say, Khadija, you know what? Jibreel came to visit me today. And by the way, I got a meeting with Mikael next week. Just for the record purposes. No. I met with the CEO of this company, or I met with the... What is it? He says, Zannilooni. Khadija, shroud me, cover me. I think I've done something wrong. I don't know what I have done. My mother comes forward and she embraces him and she says, Kalla la yukhzika Allahu abada. You will never do anything drastic. If it's anything drastic, it's me. Allah will never forsake you. Allah will never abandon you. He never ever entered his house as a professional, as a prophet, as a high profile person. He's crowned with prophethood. Jibreel meets with him. Allah communicates with him. But Aisha says when he walked in, you wouldn't know he was a Nabi, he was a normal man. He was an ordinary man. He conquered the most difficult aspect, and that is the first to praise him was his wife. Allah forgive, even the last to praise us is not our wife. And I guess we don't blame them. We don't blame them simply because they have seen us. They have seen the double standards in us. They have seen our weaknesses. The Quran says, "Unna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Unna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Alim Allahu annakum kuntum takhtanuna anfusakum fataba alaykum wa afa ankum." She is your garment and you are her garment. She covers your faults, you cover her faults. That is the pattern of marriage. But look at how the Prophet ﷺ enters home. And likewise, he had so much regard for Khadija. He had so much respect for Khadija. And she secured such a position in his heart that after she passed away, one day the sister of Khadija radiallahu anha comes. And she knocks on the door. And from the knock, it was the style of the late Khadija. And tears just come into the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he just goes down memory lane, and he becomes emotional, and he says, "That knock reminds me of my Khadija. That knock reminds me of my Khadija." Then Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Will you not stop talking about Khadija? Enough is enough. We, you know, she's gone and gone." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aisha, I love you, kanat wa kanat, but my Khadija was out of the world. She was out of the world. You know, my Khadija." آمنت بي إذ كفرني الناس صدقتني إذ كفر إذ كذبتني الناس وواستني بمالها إذ حرمني الناس. I can never forget my Khadija. She said I'm a Nabi when everybody told me I'm a liar. She trusted me when others doubted me. She supported me when others denied me. I'll never forget her. I will never forget her. Khadija is part of me. Now, what was that bondage? What was that union? That relation? Islam is a religion that advocates. We are exposed to a world of total nudity. Evil things are happening. We know what's happening. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he used to return from battle, routinely, he would camp outside Medina, then he would send a message to Medina, to inform the women folk that tomorrow the men will be arriving at this time explicitly لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِتَ الشَّعِثَ وَتَسْتَحِدَّ الْمَغِيبَ. Why? So that the disheveled woman can beautify and adorn herself, that when the first meeting happens after a period of time, they both are presentable, accommodating the sentiments of respective partners. Look at the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, that you come home, notify your wife that she is in a manner that she presents herself for her. I can safely say, it is more rewarding for a woman to beautify herself in the confines of a house, to attract her husband, to bring fidelity and morality in the relation. It's more rewarding for her than to observe nafal prayers. Because the fundamental object of that marriage is to provide that sukoon and that closeness, to provide that unity. When the Prophet ﷺ got prophethood, then he was opposed on every front. And among the many fronts that he was opposed, his son-in-laws were pressurized to divorce his daughters. So people came to his son-in-laws and harassed them and said, divorce this man's daughters or else we shun you also as we have shunned him. So among them were Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', who was married to the eldest daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, Zainab radiallahu anha, who happened to be the cousin of Zainab radiallahu anha. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi' was the nephew of Khadija radiallahu anha, her sister's son. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's eldest daughter was of marriageable age, then Khadija told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look here, our daughter is big, my nephew, my sister's son, Abu al-As, he is a good person, if you agree, we get our daughter married. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he's a boy from your family and you are happy, I am happy, let's get him married. So the eldest daughter of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Zainab radiallahu anha, was married to Abu al-As ibn Rabi. And then his other daughters, respectively, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum were married to the two sons of Abu Lahab. Now Abu Lahab again was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was that uncle who opposed the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were married to Utbah and Utaybah. The marriage was performed, but the marriage was not consummated. It was not consummated. And then these verses were revealed: Tabbat yada Abi Lahab, wa tab, where Allah curses Abu Lahab. So Abu Lahab comes to his two sons and he says, listen, your father-in-law's Quran has condemned me and criticized me. If you don't divorce the daughters of Muhammad from today, I disown you. So at one instance, both the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were divorced. Allah, don't show that to any father. It's not an easy sight. But when you study the test that came on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was just not by the enemies. It was just not hunger. It was just not opposed. On every front, two of his daughters, you tell me what the emotions of a father whose two daughters are divorced at one time. What goes through the heart of that father? But subhanallah, Allah had great plans for these women. Allah had great plans. Allah had a very, very bright plan. And what happens? Ruqayya radiallahu anha comes into the nikah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he lives with her. And Allah blesses them with a son. And then she passes away. And one day the Prophet looks at Uthman. And then he says, Uthman, after the death of his daughter, you are looking very sad. What is the matter? So he says, O Nabi of Allah, why should I not be sad when I had the privilege of being your son-in-law? And your daughter was in my nikah, and now she has passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked, he cried, and then he paused and he said, Uthman, come here. Allah has commanded me now that I give my other daughter to you in nikah also. Allah has commanded that I give my other daughter to you in nikah as well. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi, when he was told to divorce, he said, I will never ever divorce my wife. مَا أُحِبُّ أَنَّ لِي بِهَا إِمْرَأَةً مِّن قُرَيْشِ وَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ أَلَّا طَاقَةَ لِي بِأَنْ أُفَارِقَهَا. I cannot even entertain the thought of being separated from my wife, never mind divorce her. Imagine the loyalty, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for this, He respected Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi. This son-in-law means a lot. He said, he has been a very faithful son-in-law to me, and he's been very polite in the relation. I respect him. He has treated my daughter with absolute dignity. حَدَّثَنِي فَصَدَقَنِي وَوَعَدَنِي فَوَفَى بِي. He spoke to me. He was honest to me. He got married to my daughter. He was upright in this relation. He said, I will never ever divorce my wife. I cannot even entertain. Such was the bond. Such was the relation. Now, when we look at certain pertinent principles that we need to inculcate in our lives. Number one, the major factor in my humble understanding that is contributing to marriages breaking up is infidelity. Infidelity has become very, very common. I'm not talking of infertility. That's also a problem in the world. I'm talking of infidelity. The amount of illicit, unlawful contact that is taking place. The first harm is that the pleasure of your partner will be snatched from your heart. So she can be the most beautiful woman, but if you will not discipline your gaze, then I'm afraid, my brother, you will never see beauty. As I mentioned, it's Allah has created a man, like one brother told me, he says, you know, Sheikh, Allah has created me very flammable. And there's a lot of explosives around me. And they're throwing sparks at me. Allah has created a man. That is a weak spot of a man. That, there's no doubt about that. I tell my wife, and I've said it many a times, that Allah save us from being in seclusion with strange men and women. But Allah forbid if that happens, I always tell her, I will doubt myself more than I doubt you. I have more fears for myself than I have for my wife. And literally, I say this, Allah must save me. Allah must save one and all. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who narrates 5,000 ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and passed away at the age of 80, he used to make dua every day, Allah save me from zina. Someone said, Abu Hurairah, you, so many hadiths, so much pious, and then you asking for protection from zina. He said, how can I consider myself safe as long as the devil is alive? And that time, things were not so challenging, so daring. Today, we know what's the fitna and what's the exposure. You don't know, must you look top or bottom? Which way do you look? Down is fitna, up is fitna, right is fitna, left is fitna. Allah, where do we look? Uthman ibn Anas radiallahu anhu says, I was attending one gathering of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So on the way, I looked at a woman unintentionally. And as I entered the gathering, Uthman radiallahu anhu said, يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَآثَارُ الزِّنَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. I can see some people have entered in the gathering and zina is dripping from their eyes. Zina is dripping from their eyes. So Anas radiallahu anhu said, أَوَحْيٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. What is it? Is the doors of revelation still open? Did people know what's happening? He said, لَا وَلَكِنْ فِرَاسَةٌ صَادِقَةٌ. It's not revelation, but it is the vision of a believer. It's the foresight of a believer. The Prophet ﷺ says, a believer has foresight. When he says a thing, he says it by Allah. He's aided by Allah. He says, unintentionally I seen a woman. Unintentionally. Now, I know my weakness and you know your weakness. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِن نَاقِصَاتِ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ أَذْهَبَ لِلُبِّ الرَّجُلِ الْحَازِمِ مِنْ إِحْدَاكُنَّ. I have not seen anyone who can veil the sanity of a man like how one woman can. I have not seen anyone who can veil the sanity of a man, who can take control over the emotions of a man and make him turn in the direction, can sway a man like one woman. And hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ. I haven't left behind a challenge greater for the men of my ummah than women. I haven't left behind a greater challenge. It's the greatest challenge that was to, you know, with men. So, we need to realize this. We are in a society that is very, very immoral. Very, very immoral. You know, people can speak of having relations. I heard of, you know, once there was some radio program and this person phones in and he says he had a relation with 1,000 women. And subhanAllah, you sit and think, Ya Allah. So they started calculating his age. How old are you? Because, you know, there must be time, 1,000 per week, per month. What is it? That's the type of society that we have been exposed to. So obviously there has to be extreme. We must understand why Islam encourages the woman to veil herself. But the injunctions of dropping your gaze are more strict on the men than the woman. So they are more, the woman has to veil herself more because of us. Not because of herself, because men are, you know, the weakness of men. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, nikah was very common. You take the woman by the name of Juwayriya radiallahu anha. Juwayriya. She was captured as a prisoner. And then she came into the share of a sahabi by the name of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu anhu. And then he made badl kitabah. He told her that you pay me so many thousand dirhams and you earn your freedom. Now, that is the way that Islam encouraged the liberation of slaves. That, you know, you contract with them, that they must pay you an X amount and they become free. So you get some amount in lieu and it, you know, you do away with slavery, because slavery is not something that is encouraged in Islam. Now, this woman was a woman of exceptional beauty. كانت إمرأةً حلوةً ملاحةً لا يراها أحد إلا أخذت بنفسه. She was very sweet, she was very beautiful, she was very attractive. Whoever looked at her would be captured. So, as she comes, and she was a woman of high profile, she had a prestigious image. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, I seen her coming and I got worried. I said, I hope she doesn't go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a hadith. She says, I just hope. And then she comes and she says, there goes, my fears have become a reality. And she says, Ya Rasulallah, قَدْ أَفَبْتُ مِنَ الْبَلَايَا مَا لَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيْكَ. I have been afflicted by a calamity which is not hidden from you. فَأَعِنِّي عَلَى كِتَابَتِي. I'm asking for some help. Give me some money so that I can earn my liberation. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَ خَيْرٌ مِّن ذَلِكَ. How about a better proposal than that? I buy you off, earn your freedom and take you in my nikah. So she said, if that is that, I will be too happy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, I cried when I read this here, I cried. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pays her ransom and performs his nikah with this woman. Look at this off the record. Love. Love sahaba has. I have said this here, I cannot give you any parable of the love that sahaba had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, simply because we have not loved any human to that extent, never mind our beloved. Never mind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The extent of love that the companions had for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we haven't tasted that love with any human, never mind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I can't tell you, I can't tell you that the Sahaba loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like you love your wife, because that's an insult. Generally, we love our beloveds that after we love ourselves, we love them. So, if we are hungry, I love my stomach first, then I love my wife's stomach. Allah forbid we got hurt, then I love my body first, cover my own wounds, nurse my own self, then I love my wife. I swear by Allah, the Sahaba loved the belly of Muhammad ﷺ before they loved their own belly. His hurt pained them more before their own hurt. When this woman came in the care of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and in the wedlock of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all the other members of her tribe who were captives now became in-laws of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba said, release, release. How can we keep the in-laws of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our custody? Aisha radiallahu anha said, I haven't seen a woman who brought more blessings to her community than Juwayriya. It just took her nikah with Muhammad, and hundreds were released in a second. Just because they now became in-laws to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just because they became in-laws. Aisha radiallahu anha says, we need to respect these sentiments of women. It's a common thing, you know. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Umm Salma radiallahu anha, hazintu huznan shadida. I became very depressed and I became sick. Why? Because I heard she's very beautiful. So I couldn't contain it, you know, it ate me up inside, that till now I was the beautiful one and now somebody else has come and taken the position. So what I'm saying is, you know, these are common sentiments in women. The other day, now, you know, you sit and wonder how, but women, subhanallah, Allah has given them. I was speaking to someone on the phone, and marital problem. So I was very particular that I didn't say brother or sister, so my wife doesn't get any indication. But I was just, you know, in a marital relation, nothing else. And I kept on, you know. So after I put the call down, she says, who was the sister? So I said, how do you know? She says, you are very passive in your tone. You know, so women, they Allah has given them a sense, you know, they know how to sense you and read you well. You know, they can read you well. And as much as I wanted to argue, I had no grounds. As much as I wanted to argue, I had absolutely no grounds. She says, and I always say, if we can be so polite with our own wives as we are with strange women, wallah, our marriages will prosper. Wallah, it's our weakness as men, we just become soft and passive and gentle and polite. And, you know, we just tone down. Other women, even when they argue, they sound sweet. Even when they argue, they sound sweet, you know. And our own wives, even when they're polite, they don't sound sweet. Is this not the devil? Is this not our evil? Is this not our weakness? And let us learn to face our wrong. Let us learn to face our wrong. One of the best things, you know, when you separate with your wife for the pleasure of Allah, you come out in khuruj in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you separate on the name of Allah, and then you return, I promise you the joy that brings, nothing will bring to you. I have seen it repeatedly. Why I say in the path of Allah? Because if you're going on a business trip, you know what happens, my brother. You know, and you're putting up in a hotel, Allah forbid, I don't even complete my sentence. You know, you'll enjoy that business venture for the rest of your life. When you separate for the pleasure of Allah, because now you're conscious of your Creator. You're conscious. So the bond is strengthening, the feelings are there, the affiliation is there, the closeness is there. So Hafsa Salma, Umm Salma radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha says, I went and told Hafsa. So Hafsa told me that, listen, Umm Salma is not so beautiful, you're just getting jealous. You're just getting jealous. Now what I'm saying is, these are common sentiments. We need to appreciate the sentiments of a woman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard was a very tolerant person. He was a very accommodating person. He allowed his wife, in the throes of death, the last few incidents, when he walks in there and he says, Wa ra'asa, Ya Allah, I got a splitting headache. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, Wa ra'asa, what a bad headache I got. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Bal ana wa ra'asa, you're talking of yours, ask me what a headache I got. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, you got a headache, what happens? If I pass away, you won't be worried, you just go get another wife and come. She tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I pass away now, I guess you'll just take another wife. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just smiles. It was his fatal illness and things were just deteriorating in his health. But Warren said, she said this relation. He was a very, very modest person. He was a very modest person. He never used to, like in his fatal illness, according to one verse of the Quran, he was divinely exempted from maintaining fairness between his spouses. Allah Ta'ala had privileged him, although he never opted for this concession. He never opted. He maintained stringent justice between all his spouses. And in his fatal illness, obviously his health did not warrant for him to move to all his wives. And, you know, he became a bit sick. And then he would every day ask, Aina ana ghadan? Aina ana ghadan? Now, tomorrow, whose chance is it? By which wife? And, you know, that was a polite indication that, you know, if you consent, I'd like to base myself at one place. And all the wives understood that, look here, he's happy by Aisha, but he said it very politely, very bashfully. Tomorrow is whose chance? But he never hurt the feelings of his wife. He never, ever hurt it. You know, there was this collective relation from both the wives. From both the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife. In fact, when he came, one day he comes home. And then he comes to the house of Fatima and he asks, where's Ali? So she says, no, we had an argument and he's gone. Now, it's brilliant to walk out of the house, provided you're going to the masjid. But if you're not going to the masjid, rather stay indoors. Because, you know, at that time, in that anger, when you walk out, the devil is going to tempt you. And, you know, with respect to my sisters, but women also, they have two things. They have a unique art of convincing and of provoking. A woman can convince you, you know, you come home, and then you see they're all dressed up, and say, what's happening? We're going shopping. You say, you're mad, man, I'm sleeping. And then 20 minutes time, you're in the car, and you're off to the shops. You know, were you hypnotized? Were you, what happened? You said no, and before you knew, you're in the car, and you're going. Subhanallah, how she convinced you, only she knows what she said and what she did. It's exclusive to her. And the other thing is, of course, women have, unfortunately, provocation. They can provoke a man. A person divorces his wife after 30 years, and then you say, but what went wrong now? My friend, it didn't go wrong now, it went wrong 30 years ago, you're making sabr till now. No, that's the reality. That's an absolute reality. It's not that it went wrong now, now the bubble has burst. The bubble has burst. So I can only politely advise to my sisters, you know, the poet says, Ya hasanat al wajhi, ka waqt al khana, la tubdilna zina bishini. Oh beautiful lady, harness your tongue. Oh beautiful lady, harness your tongue. Don't taint your beauty with your words. And the other one, I mean, it's just because it was in the kitab, not that I refer to anyone. Oh, an unattractive lady, harness your loose tongue, don't have two negative traits. Don't have two negative traits. وَيَا قُبْحَةَ الْوَجْهِ You know, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ مِنِّي تَفْتَدِينِي مَوَدَّتِي وَلَا تَنْتَقِي فِي وَقْتٍ حِينَ أَغْضَبْ Don't speak when I'm angry. We need to respect one another and give little space to one another. We need to give space to one another. So the Prophet ﷺ comes home, and then he asks, where is Ali? So they say that he's gone to the masjid. Now the Prophet, now as a father-in-law, what do we do? What do we do? The Prophet ﷺ comes, and he sees Ali is sleeping in the courtyard, and you know they had an argument. Now, arguments happen, you know, it's nature, it's common. And I think overall, it matures relation. If you said, and look, I did a survey on my own relation, and I found the moment after you patch up after an argument are unique. You know, so on a disguised note, those arguments bring good also. Because when you patch up, it's so much sweeter. It's so much more polite, and it's so much more calm. And then when you're arguing, then you were wrong. And when you patch up, no, I was wrong. Sorry, I was wrong. Maaf, it was my fault. So the Prophet comes in the masjid and he sees Ali radiallahu anhu. So now look at how he patches up a hostile relation. So he was lying down and there was a bit of sand on him. So Nabi takes a bit of sand and dusts him, and then he says, Kum ya Aba Turab. Oh dusty man, why don't you stand up? Just to bring a bit of wood and just to, you know, calm down the whole thing. Then he picks him up and then he rubs his hand over Ali radiallahu anhu. And then he doesn't tell him anything, just holds him. And he gave him this name, Dusty Man, you know, just in that happiness. Ali radiallahu anhu used to say till the day he died, I swear by Allah, I like the name Abu Turab more than Ali, because this name Muhammad Sassim gave me. When people called me Dusty Man, I felt more honored, because it was a name my Nabi gave me. You know, it was just a privilege that it came from my Nabi. You know, like a person when he's pursuing an illicit relation, and if she calls him honey or hubby or whatever else names you have, then, you know, there's like a sentimental value to that, you know. It's a passion behind that year, and it sparks certain spirits, and it creates restlessness, and you know better what happens. So he takes Ali radiallahu anhu home, then he sits down, and then he starts speaking, and then he comes out, and his face is very bright. So some Sahabi said, O Nabi of Allah, what's the matter? You're looking very happy. The Prophet ﷺ said, why shouldn't I be happy when Allah made me the means of uniting those two who are the most beloved to me? The most beloved. One day the Prophet ﷺ had an argument with Safiya radiallahu anha. After he had an argument, now Safiya radiallahu anha knew that Nabi ﷺ was very close to Aisha radiallahu anha. So Safiya radiallahu anha told Aisha, I'm going to ask you a favor. I'll give you my night if you patch up for me. Now, look at the sacrifice this woman made, giving her night where every second with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was greater than the ibadat of thousands of years. It wasn't an ordinary thing. She sacrificed a night with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what that? What a price she paid. That it was her privilege. That was her night, And Aisha radiallahu anha, somehow she enjoyed a bit of a different casual relation, and because of the closeness of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, if you want it, it's on. I'm okay, I'll patch up, no problem. فَلَبِسْتُ خِمَارًا كَانَ عِنْدِي مَسْبُوغًا. She said, I had one nice scarf, I kept it for some occasion. I said, let me don that beautiful scarf of mine. She puts it on, and she comes and she sat down by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي. Go from there, it's not your chance. She says, no, no, it's mine. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what's up? What do you mean it's your chance? She says, don't worry, it's my chance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what's happening, man? It's not yours, it's Safiya. She says, no, I believe you had an argument with Safiya. She has given me her chance, provided you patch up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got so happy with Safiya. He got so happy with Safiya. He said, I have forgiven her, not for this, but forever. I have forgiven her. Now, we need to go at length to patch up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the devil puts his throne on the water, and then he sends his dispatches. SubhanAllah, is the time gone to that? You can carry on. My wife is not here. I can carry on till the morning. Unless he's listening from there also, you know, we're living in a world today. So, at what length they went to patch up? They went to patch up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the devil puts his throne and then he dispatches people. He dispatches people. You know, his army. And then every night they come and report back to the leader. So one will come back and say, I influenced the man, he did not perform salah. The devil says, right, you've done something. I got him into gambling, you've got something. And then one comes, he says, I managed to create a fight between husband and wife till I separated them. The devil stands up, embraces them, embraces him, and he says, you have fulfilled the mission, the object of my mission. You have fulfilled the object of my mission. That if you have done that, that is what I want. We need to, you know, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi used to say, مَنِ اسْتُغْضِبَ فَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ فَهُوَ حِمَارٌ وَمَنِ اسْتُرْضِيَ فَلَمْ يَرْضَ فَهُوَ شَيْطَانٌ. That person who's provoked and doesn't become angry is not a human, he's a donkey. It's normal to become angry. That is why somebody asked for advice, so he said, don't become angry. He said, my brother, be real, man, talk sense. You can't tell me don't become angry. Give me real practical advice. He said, okay, wait, let me rephrase my advice. When you become angry, look after your hands and your tongue. He says, okay, now I understand what you're saying. Because becoming angry, this is external things that will provoke you. You know, it just cannot happen that you're not going to become angry. The Prophet also became angry and he didn't speak to his wife for 1 month. Obviously, we can't latch on to these things and justify our anger because the dynamics of his anger and our anger is different. The logistics, why he became angry, and we look at ours is motivated 99% by lust. That 1% also is motivated by anger. Seldom is our anger for the pleasure of Allah, or perhaps never for the pleasure of Allah. He comes home and he sees that there were some images on the curtains of Fatima. Now whenever he returned from jihad or battle, he went to the house of Fatima first. And he comes and he sees some inanimate objects and he gets angry. And he sees some bangles on the hands of Hassan and Hussein. And he goes into rage and he pulls that curtain off. And he breaks that bangles. And he tells Fatima, you know the malaika will not enter this house if this is the condition. So he became angry for Islamic reasons. He became angry for Islamic reasons. But, he's like I mentioned, when one day he was sitting with Aisha radiallahu anha, and then Umm Salma sends a platter of food. Now this was subtle rivalry among the wives. Now one felt offended by another. You know, if I speak on mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, I need 2 hours itself. But that, inshallah, I'm going to write a book on this, inshallah. Not because I have a passion for it, but just because I've been involved in it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, ya subhan. You know, when your wife talks or your mother talks, right, turn it out. If your wife says a statement or your mother with utmost respect, then you analyze, or rather critically analyze that statement on every possible level and evaluate it. You will not arrive at the conclusion your wife has instantly arrived at. So your mother said something. Oh, your mother is just asking, did the children eat? Your mother was trying to say, I don't cook. mother was saying, I don't cook.
What's my mother?
You don't know. You don't know. Subhanallah, if you run your thoughts till the day you die, believe me, you run your thoughts till the day you die, and you do a post-mortem of the sentence. You dissect it. And then you evaluate it. You will never arrive at the conclusion that they respectively instantly arrive. And they run their thoughts, make their conclusions, make their judgments, and they cannot be changed. They are decisive. You don't understand. I know what your mother was saying. That is why practically it's separated. You will find you serve your mother more if you separate it. Those of you that have the privilege of a wife that can afford you, you're a lucky man. But we cannot generalize. We cannot generalize. Those are isolated cases. It is better that you keep them away so that you do not utter anything unbecoming against your mother. And you do not alter your relation with your mother. You do not alter your relation with your mother. You visit your mother diligently. You respect your mother. And it's a very sensitive role as a man. It's a very sensitive role. I have told my wife that there are a few things, but one in particular, other things are not something to be shared. But if you can be patient with whatever my mother says, not to impress her, but to impress me. If you are patient and you do whatever she says and accept her in her stride and give her the freedom of her choice and let her say regarding her grandchildren as she feels. So don't feel intimidated if she says this one is not well dressed, or that one is not looking clean, or you're not, give her the freedom. And don't feel intimidated if you allow her, you've brought joy to me. And I'm not saying, but the Prophet ﷺ says, if I'm happy, your jannat is done. And if my mother is happy, my jannat is done. If you brought that joy to me, my jannat is done, my mother is... So this is a sad reality. I mean, there's no justice in this here. It's sad. How sad, we look at the typical situation. I've spoken about this here, and I'm talking generally. You take the unfairness that we have in our evaluation. When the son-in-law buys for the daughter, and the son-in-law goes shopping for the daughter, then the mother-in-law is very happy. My son-in-law, mashallah, he sees my daughter very nice. Oh, Ohara Poira. You know, he's a very good boy. But when my son buys for my daughter-in-law, hey, I tell you, the women of today, they put pressure on the innocent men. Subhanallah, you know, how does this work? How does this work? How does this work? Obviously, we will never see, but this is the sad reality of our lives. So as men, we've got a very sensitive path to thread, you know. We've got to just take it, you know, listen to it, blend it, move with the flow, come home, smile. MashaAllah, mommy gave a lot of salam for you. Mommy said the cake was nice. Meanwhile, we know the cake is lying in the fridge. You know, the cake was very nice. Now she'll know. Daughter-in-law, maybe she's going to wait. You see, nobody ate my dessert. You see? You see, when I cook, that's why I don't like to cook. My food is not nice. SubhanAllah. You know, when you look at this here, the weakness of women at that time. Men have maturity, they have vision, they are skillful. But when it comes to the fitna of women, how weak and feeble they are, how they fall. You can't imagine how a man can just collapse at the beauty of one woman and he's gone, head over heels. And then a woman who's so wonderful and in this, you know, petty, nitty-gritty, and how she cries and how feeble, and petty things. Women get offended if someone don't say they're beautiful. How nasty. She couldn't even say, I'm looking nice. SubhanAllah, is that something to worry? I'm like, I mean, what's happening in the world and you're getting worried about someone not saying you're beautiful? I'm saying you're beautiful. Are you happy? And, you know, they get intimidated with that. And men need to have broad shoulders. Men need to have broad shoulders. Vision, maturity, calmness, composure, integrity, understanding. You know, you've got to listen to these things. Take it with a smile and move on. You've got to move on. You cannot become emotional with these situations and let it dominate you. They will come, they will do these things in their stride, embrace them and move on. So I was saying that of Imam Shafi, and I conclude now. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, وَمَنْ اِشْتُرْضِيَ فَلَمْ يَرْضَ فَهُوَ shaytan. That person whose pleasure is being sought. In other words, the husband apologizes to his wife and the wife apologizes to the husband. He's been asked forgiveness and he does not accept the apology, then he is the devil himself. He's not a believer. If someone asks you, your wife is asking for forgiveness, she wants to patch up, and then you don't accept the apology, then definitely you are not a believer. And again, let me conclude by saying certain pertinent points. A lot of things were said. One is that your wealth is your partner. Your wealth is your partner. You know, we like everything else, we've got to maintain it. We have to work towards our relation. Relation is not a thing that you married, so it's done. When you enroll in a school, it doesn't mean you graduated. It means you have the potential of graduating. It doesn't mean you graduate. When you married, it doesn't mean happiness, you know. I always tell my students, I say, you think the day you married, then you'll have a child, and then you'll be very happy. You know, that's what you think. I mean, an unmarried. I said, your father's got you. Ask him how happy he is. You think the day I'm married and I'll have a child, that will be the pinnacle of joy. Go ask your father how happy he is. We've got to work towards our relation. This is human weakness. When he doesn't have anything, then he assumes owning it with all its privileges, omitting all its difficulties. So a person that doesn't own a car, he says, well, if I had a car now, well, I wouldn't have been sitting, I would have been driving in San Francisco, I would have been at a beach. You'll never think that maybe I'm stuck on the road, I'm short of gas, a traffic officer stopped me, I got a puncture. No, those thoughts he'll never think. He'll be, oh, I would have been enjoying somewhere. We all have cars, who's enjoying? So this is human weakness. Today I'm married, I'll be in glory. No, we've got to work towards our relation. We've got to be constantly working. And, you know, we've got to be at it. When I was a child, and I always used to make this dua, Allah, make me a good child to my parents, and make me a good student to my ustad. Now I make this dua, Allah, make me... You could be a wonderful child to your parents, but you could be a terrible husband to your wife. You could be a terrible husband to your wife, and that's not good. The image that's going to impress people is not the image that's going to impress your wife at home. She's not going to see you like that. I can maybe speak, you can maybe read, he can maybe have other skills. We can impress an audience. They say you can fool some people all the time, and you can fool, but you can't watch it, fool all the people all the time. That's just not on. Your wife, your color has to get exposed to her. She has to get, this guy got married and, you know, he had a bit of a problem on his feet, so he never took off his socks, you know, because he didn't want his wife to maybe look at his feet or his toes or whatever it is, you know. But I guess how long? Summer has to come in the marriage or so, won't be winter all your life. So it has to get exposed. That's physical, but what I'm saying, reality has to come out. So the image of being a wonderful man outside, I know of a great talented cricketer, and you know, we always used to respect him and all that, and then the marriage broke up, someone that we knew. So I happened to ask the wife what happened. She says he was only good in cricket. He was only good in cricket. Nowhere else was he good. He wasn't good, you know, he could perform maybe on the field, but in no other way. So we've got to enhance our image. Now I make this dua that Allah make me a good partner to my wife, make me a good parent to my children, make me a good child to my parent. The obligations respectively will be diverse. There's a multi-front, and according to your obligations, that's how it's going to be upon you. So let us look towards patching up the relation. Let us see that fidelity comes in our nikah, that we become conscious of our gaze. And let us not haste in giving talaq. Ask anybody who went through divorce, nobody has been happy. Nobody's been happy. Look here, sometimes inevitably it has to end up, things are not good, it's the worst of the lawful things, but if there's no other option, then talaq has to happen. But let's not hasten in talaq. And you are always learning. You are always learning in marriage. You have never matured and you are never over. Life is changing, challenges are changing, the dynamics are changing. So you're always learning. Inshallah, I hope that at least my sisters will make dua for me today. After whatever they heard, at least if nobody else remembers me, my sisters will remember me. The sad part is a lot of people after the bayans, they forget everything but the jokes. You know, and I hope that's not what happens here. A lot of people, you know, Shaykh, I remember you, I remember that joke of yours. I said, Subhanallah, is that all what you remember me for? You know, Wallah, don't remember me for that. I have to add that to just balance the feeling and the atmosphere. But remember me for whatever was, not remember me, practice on what was said. the jokes is just by the way, and that does happen. It adds flavor. The Prophet ﷺ was a very light-hearted person. He was a very witty person. He was a very, very witty person. But his wit never offended people. So there was a person by the name of Zahir. He was a very ordinary, simple person that used to live in the villages. And then he used to sell some things, come from the farm and sell it. And then the Prophet ﷺ used to have special time for him. He was a villager, a Bedouin. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ زَاهِرًا بَادِيَتَنَا وَنَحْنُ حَاضِرُوهُ. Zahir is my contact in the village, and I'm his contact in Medina. So one day he comes and he puts out his things and he starts selling. The Prophet ﷺ comes from the rear, blocks his eyes, and he says, مَنْ يَشْتَرِي هَذَا الْعَبْدِ. Listen, I am selling, who wants to buy? That Nabi who went so close to Allah that even Jibreel could not journey, but he could drop himself as an ordinary human, that he plays with the Sahabi so casually, that he's saying, I'm selling, who wants to buy? You know, you and I would say that, oh, it's against your dignity, man, a profile person like you. And then he feels, and he says, who's this here? And then he feels the softness and the beauty on the palm, and he moves the hand, and he looks and he says, Subhanallah, it's the Prophet of Allah. So he says, إِذَن تَجِدُنِي كَاسِدًا. Oh, Nabi of Allah, you want to sell me? If you sell me, I'm very cheap, you won't get anything. So the Prophet ﷺ says, لَكِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَسْتَ بِكَاسِدٍ. You might be cheap in the eyes of people, but I swear by Allah, you're valuable in His eyes. So he was witty also, but he motivated people with his wit. He never demoralized anyone. Some men, they are so nasty. They will literally tell their wife, I've seen such a beautiful woman today. Subhanallah. You know, so offensive, so insulting comment. I mean, I hear women crying on the phone and speaking to me. And I make my wife here, and I always tell her that I hope that Allah rewards me for whatever little contribution I made in the marital relation. But the thing that benefits me most is that it makes me appreciate my relation. You know, this marriage, it tolls on me. It literally tolls on me. My wife gets, you know, sometimes tired of these calls and these phone calls and this and that. But it just makes you appreciate your own relation. How nasty can a man be? How mean can a man be? Look here, you do get tempted. I don't say no. The Quran told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that now you cannot get married to any other woman. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ حُسْنُهُنَّ. Even if their beauty impresses you. So that means being impressed by beauty is human, because Allah told that to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you don't come and tell your wife, I've seen such a beautiful woman. You've got to have feelings. And then when she just lifts the gaze little, then you become extremely possessive. Like, what you doing and where you looking, and you roam in your gazes. And then look at yourself. Look at how immoral and unchaste you are. You should die with shame, my brother, if that's your condition. Be possessive over your woman, but take stock of yourself. The Prophet ﷺ said, عِفُّ عَنْ نِسَاءِ النَّاسِ تَعِفُّ نِسَاءُكُمْ. Don't cast a nasty glance on any strange woman, and Allah will divinely protect all your woman folk from the nasty glances of strange men. So you want to save your wife? Save your eyes. You save your eyes. Wash your eyes, not with solo liquid, but wash it with morality. Wash it with fidelity. Wash it with taqwa. And every time you look at her, she will be more beautiful. She will be more attractive. May Allah Ta'ala unite us. And let death separate us and never talak. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah subhanallah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.